Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
It's good to see all of you. I will share a few things, and tonight I intend to break us into small units of like three of you, just three in a unit. And I want the three of you to share ideas on what we are talking about. I want to be sure that you are getting what I'm saying. I know some people are getting it, but we need to increase the people getting it. If I can get all of you here, listen up, all of you here tonight, to understand and to appreciate this topic and to begin to put it to use, I'm telling you, that's a high success rate for this church. Because what that will mean, and including the leaders, everyone, I hope you're listening to me, what that will mean is that we will be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, this is our flesh. It's so strong that it wants to lead us every time. And I can tell you that sometimes the thing still takes over my thinking, still influences my decision, and I fall, yakata. I'm saying that to you now. And if that is happening to me, it's not only to me, it's happening to other believers as well. Can you now imagine those who don't even know how to be led by the Spirit? They will just all the days of their lives be led by their flesh. For me, when that happens, I pick myself up again and realign myself with God and say, Lord, have mercy. And now I'm going to follow the leading of your Spirit. Everything I'm saying, I want to back up with scriptures. Go to 1 John 1:9. Even if it's only 10 minutes, I will still break us up into units. Even if it's only 10 minutes. And somehow, I think it's going to form a pattern going forward of how once a month we have our Bible study. We want to make it very interactive. And I want to know if you are getting what I'm saying. You see, Shubomi did not know the third way that God leads us, because he was not here last Thursday. And for some reason, maybe legitimate reason, he was not here. Not too bad. But he did not join online. Or he did not go back to care about what was shared. Don't do that again next time. And it's not only him, the rest of you also. The day you don't make it to the meeting, to the service physically, go online. If you can't stream directly or immediately, go and check later. These things are not for me. They are for you. I am running my race. You need to run your race as well. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. So when we miss it, there's a provision. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. We have a provision there. It says, if we confess our sins. I want to have that scripture in the Amplified Classic, please. Media, Amplified Classic. And I hope everybody is listening, including the media ministry. I don't want meetings now, please. I hope everybody is listening to what I'm saying. 1 John 1:9. Let's read it together. Amplified Classic. I can't hear you. Want to go? Are you hungry? Be filled in Jesus' name. So speak up. One, two, go. I want to hear your voice. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all, how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action. What we call sin usually is the action. But anything that is not in conformity with his will in your thought, isn't that a sin? Come on now, talk to me. Everything not in conformity to his will, in purpose. In your motive, God judges motives faster than actions. Why would God say, no, don't anoint Eliab? First Samuel. And God was talking to Samuel when he was going to choose David. This must be 1 Samuel 16. Don't anoint him because I've rejected him from being king. He had the physical stature of a king. But God knew the guy's motives, purposes, intentions. So there are times that we stray, and you could see his heart in 1 Samuel 17 when David went to the war to give food to his brothers. And was asking, what shall be done for the man that kills this uncircumcised Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? David was concerned about the name of the Lord. The name of the God of Israel is at stake here. Man, I will fight anybody because of the name of the Lord. I won't fight you because of my personal interests. But if this is going to affect our ministry and is affecting our ministry badly, I will fight you. I am telling you that. You see that scammer in prison? I told him, you are using the name of Jesus to defraud people. The last meeting he had, when God allowed me to catch him, it was an online meeting, Zoom meeting. He had more people online from Ghana than from Nigeria. He wanted to open a new market to Ghana. He had defrauded over 250 or 300 Nigerians. He now wanted to open a new market in Ghana. Unfortunately, he sent the link to the last woman that paid to me that I enrolled. So the woman called me and said, Pastor, there's going to be a meeting on Zoom. Are you aware? I said, no. I said, but please send me the link. Send me the link into my email. She sent to my email. I used my phone and entered with my wife's name and didn't put the last name. So he admitted me into the meeting. And I was looking at him like this. Gaduchi, Gaduchi. A man that had eloped for several months. He wasn't responding to my emails. He had blocked my line. There was no way to communicate with him. And I was looking at him. He was away to Thailand on vacation with his wife. Expensive vacation. 25th wedding anniversary. Larger than life. They were partying, and he was in his hotel room to do that Zoom meeting. Another campaign to defraud people. That was the meeting where I said, oh, Reverend Igbami. People were saying it to me. I said, no, he's a reverend, he's a man of God. He can't do that. He was using the name of the Lord. When he was closing that meeting, after he had told people, just make your payment, you know, talk to the office, we'll take care of you. We have jobs. We have COS for people. We have jobs in London, in Manchester, in Exeter, in Birmingham. The same thing he told us when I signed people up. And which he did not deliver in 1 year. He was now promising new people. The same script. The same format. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he was closing that meeting, he said, and you know what? God is going to bless you. He's going to bless the works of your hands. If you hear that, does that not sound Christianese? You don't know Christianese. In Japan, what do they speak? Come on, talk to me now. In China, what do they speak? So in Christendom, what do we speak? Christianese. Bless you. It is well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit. Deep. All of those things are Christianese. It does not mean that you have a relationship with Jesus. So I said to the Lord, and I said to him when I finally got him, I said to the Lord to help me get him. When I got him, I said, because you are using the name of the Lord to defraud people, I will fight you till you are finished. I will ensure that there are no traces of you again. My son, we were driving on that road this afternoon, coming from school. My son said, they put a board there in front of his church, his shrine. They said, hall for rent. Yeah, because there's no more church there. Hall for rent. He's in prison now. The name of the Lord. I'm jealous for the name of the Lord. I am jealous for the name of the Lord. It will never happen while I'm pastor of the Expression House. While I live, that we will cut any cake here for birthday celebrants and we spell the name of Jesus to cut a cake. Some lawyer picked that up in Lagos and was fighting someone that was my protege, whom I had taught. Now, your pastor is hyper-spiritual. What's the big deal about using the name of Jesus to cut cake? I mean, we do everything in the name of Jesus. If you're not dumb, if you have a brain, you can be creative to use another word to cut cake. Why do you need the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to cut a piece of flour, sugar, egg, butter? The name! Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord, that name is a strong high tower. The righteous, we run into that name. Guess what? We are guaranteed safety in the name. In the name. Jesus said in John 17 when he prayed for the church, I have kept them in your name. When the Muslims have more understanding than Christians in this area, when they call the name of their prophet, compulsorily they must say, Salah wa alayhi wa salah. Just for mentioning the name of the prophet. When they write his name, they write S-A-W in front of it. Do you know that the Muslims respect the name of Jesus? Apart from what you know, that they just call him Prophet Isa, if you get close to those who are Islamic scholars, they have an hierarchy of names. The name of Jesus is top on that hierarchy. Someone whose name I will not mention, who was Are Musulumi of Nigeria, or Yoruba land rather, said that to a mentor of mine who is a Christian. He said, it is you Christians that throw around the name of Jesus anyhow. He said, we, those who know the Quran very well, who are deep in it, he said, we honor Jesus. His name is on top. Stupid comedians. Jesus! Little thing. Jesus! It's a joke now. See a lady rolling a bum bum. Jesus! Then they'll zoom the camera on it. That's why the name doesn't work for them. When someone points a gun on their forehead, they kill them like chicken. Yeah, but he called Jesus. No, that name will never work because you don't honor the name. So the name will not answer. Well, it's what you honor. It's the premium you place on anything that determines the virtue you draw from it. If you don't place premium on my relationship with you, you are not going to get the best of me. If I don't place a premium on my relationship with you, I won't get the best of you. How many of you like to be treated shabbily? You want to talk to me, for example, I don't have time. Tell me, talk by. I don't, you can say I'm busy. Okay, sir. You walk away sluggishly. If you have a challenge, you need a pastor, will you call me? No, be honest. Will you call me? No, you won't. And if I now send you a mail that we want to put AC in the church and I want all of you to give money and you get the mail, how would you treat the mail? So they need money now, they can write me. The same way I've treated you, you will treat me. How do you think about the Lord? Now, I'm digressing a bit, but we're still in the same thing. Go to John chapter 7. See how they dishonored him? And then, oh Lord have mercy. I love Jesus. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I'm going to read, it's very long, but I'm going to read chapter 7 and then chapter 8. But I'm going to read, so follow me as I read. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. The Jews sought to do what? Are you honoring him like that? Someone you're trying to kill. No honor. No honor. They sought to kill him. No wonder they didn't get much from him. They were looking for every opportunity to kill him. How do you kill someone who has come to help you? And you think you're going to get the best of them? Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. I tell them their works are evil, so they hate me. Go ye up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he's a scammer. It deceived the people. Can you see that? Dishonor, disrespect. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He didn't go to school, their own school. He didn't attend the Jewish school where they were being taught by the scholars. But how come he knows all these things, having never learned? Jesus was an enigma in his days. They couldn't understand him. He was a mystery they couldn't unravel. Isn't it amazing how he turns our lives around today? People look at you and say, you can never amount to anything. And in their presence, God is lifting you and you are having results. Somebody told Marilyn Hickey, her husband was a preacher. She was the wife of a preacher. And she was also trying to come up in ministry. When the husband passed, she wanted to go on television. Someone said, I've listened to you. You are not good material for television. Forget about it. You will never make a success of television ministry. Never make a success. It's been 47 years she's on television. Marilyn Hickey has touched almost every, she has touched every continent of the world preaching the gospel. I have not known another minister more highly favored than Marilyn Hickey, especially in the Muslim world. Marilyn Hickey has held healing meetings in Pakistan, in Iran, Iraq. She was thinking about going to Saudi Arabia one day, and she was saying, well, the Lord, I would love to have a healing meeting there. And she had gone to have a healing meeting in Pakistan. The chief imam of Pakistan, that's the imam is the head of a mosque. The chief imam of all the imams in Pakistan, his wife was sick. She got healed in Marilyn Hickey's meeting. So, let me tell you, when people are really sick, they look for a solution. And when they are really sick, they go to Jesus, even the Muslims. The imam became her friend. Chief imam became Marilyn Hickey's friend. It was his wife that was sick, and the wife got healed. Guess what? After a while, the imam called her on the phone and said, you know what, Marilyn, I'm thinking about something. Would you like to have a healing meeting in Saudi Arabia? And this was what she had been desiring to do. She said, oh yeah, that's a very good idea. I've been thinking about it. The man said, yeah, consider it done, because the chief imam of Saudi Arabia is my best friend. Ah, come on. Are you getting what I'm saying? Can you see the way Jesus walks? She said she was trying to get into Sudan. Sudan is a terrorist country. Terrible. And she needed to go through Ethiopia. And every time she applied for visa to go to Ethiopia, they refused her. So one day she was just thinking about it and talking to a particular lady. And the lady said, you know what? I feel your ministry, you should go to Ethiopia and then go to these other countries. And she said, yeah, but how do I get there? I've applied for visas. The woman said, no, you didn't put in the right document. She said, I put in the right document. Ah, okay, don't worry. Let me get on the phone. I'll talk to somebody for you. Boom. She got on the phone right there, called somebody. And she was laughing, giggling, and the other person too laughing. When they were done, she said to Marilyn, you know what? Your visa is going to be ready. Go pick it up tomorrow. Go with your passport, go with everything. She said, what did you do? So, the ambassador is my old boyfriend. my old boyfriend. Isn't it amazing how Jesus works? He will use somebody's old boyfriend to open the door to a nation for his minister to go minister. Are you getting what I'm saying? Who can stand against the Lord? I pity people who try to stop God's work. I pity their lives and their generations. When Saul tried it, Saul of Tarsus, would you have fought? Don't joke with Jesus. I always pray, Lord, let me not be in your way. In the way of growth of the expression house. In the way of growth of your work. In the way of the advancement of your kingdom. Let me not stand your way. Who are you? Who do you think you are? See, when Marilyn, thank God for Marilyn. See, go and Google her, please, and follow her ministry. I am recommending that you follow her ministry. She's 88 years old. She's been traveling from when she was in her 20s. She had been desiring it, and God began to open the doors. She has preached Jesus inside mosques. Have you seen any? Not Papa Copeland has had that favor. It doesn't mean God is not using them in their own way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Papa Kenneth Hagin didn't have that favor. God used them mightily. Jesus is not boring. Jesus has 1,001,000,000 ways of getting his work done. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a privilege for you and I to get in the way and walk with him and to be used of him. It's a privilege. If we don't get in line and be used of him, he will kick us out of the way. We use other people, including someone's old boyfriend. She went to Romania in Europe. No, she went to Hungary in Europe to have a meeting. They took her to an underground church. Underground because it was against the government's policy that time to have church, you know. She said when they approached the building, they had to turn off the light. They entered the dark room, then turned on little light for them to see their passageway and then get to the basement, and there were Christians there. They couldn't practice Christianity openly. This is also still being led by the Holy Spirit. God led her to go to the difficult places. But when God leads you, God goes with you. When he leads you, he goes ahead of you. When he leads you, it takes care of your back. Are you getting what I'm saying? When she had that meeting, it was a wonderful one. Then someone said to her, would you like to go to Romania? She said, that would be nice. But Romania too was tough to go to. And somehow, God made a way. She said, she mentioned the name of the ruler of Romania at that time. I didn't put it to my memory. He was a bad man. He was killing people. He was a terrorist. The whole nation was under a siege, and Christianity had no room at all. It was like Hitler, like a paramount ruler. She said, Jesus, this guy has to die. This is a tough one. You haven't heard me speak like this before. If anybody gets in God's way to hinder his work, they may have to report in heaven. Let's not, you know, the Bible says the fearful thing, Hebrews now, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. If you get in God's way, it's a dangerous thing. It's very dangerous. I will show you scripture. I will tell you a real life example. Maybe this is the direction God wants us to go tonight. It's dangerous. She said she declared the date by January so and so. She mentioned the name of that guy. She encouraged the underground church. Don't worry. That guy will die so that the church can be free to operate. She said January came and the guy didn't die. So she went to the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, I will be seen as a false prophet. What are you doing about it? Well, towards the end of the year, because God had his own plans, toward the end of the year, the guy died. And guess what happened? She said, in that country, the guy's picture was everywhere. You drive on the main road, you see his picture, billboard, just his own picture alone. So it was like the idol they worshipped. But Jesus had to get his glory. The guy died, Christianity saw the light of day. They have big churches in those places now. The gospel. No man can stand against the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? No man.
no herbalist, he will die. Christians need to be very careful. There was an evangelist in the days of the healing voices in America. Papa Kenneth Hagin was part of the movement, and some other healing evangelists. There were, I think, 120 of them, healing evangelists. So they had this, they called it Voice of Healing. And they would have tent meetings. You know, people would come in their numbers. Oral Roberts was having like the biggest tent meeting that time. And people would come and they would be healed. Raw miracles. But then there was this other evangelist. If Oral Roberts managed to have 15,000, this guy had 17,000. He began to have 20,000. Meaning he was more prominent. The Lord said to Kenneth Hagin, Dad Hagin, he said, go tell him, if he doesn't judge himself in the area of walking in love with fellow ministers, one, if he doesn't judge himself, listen to me, church, in the area of his diet, his discipline with what he eats, he will die. Papa Hagin said this man was large. He was a large man. And he ate large. I saw a woman when I went to Old English. I took my children to Old English supermarket in Bodija on our way from school. I think yesterday. I just wanted to buy something for them. They could munch. This woman was large. She was coming out with her children. I don't mean to disrespect anybody. But if you saw the way she was eating pastries. Meat pie. And so I had to look at her. When she saw I was looking, she returned the look. A very nasty look. I looked again. Then I looked away. Lord have mercy. You're already on the big side. You need to watch your weight. You don't need spirituality for this. It's common sense you need. Because if fat accumulates around your heart, you will have cardiovascular problems. The church has lost people in because of that who don't have any business going to heaven at that time. Papa Copeland was taking coffee too much one time. He began to have problems with his bones. And he went to the Lord. I've taken this. I've believed you. I've confessed. I keep having problems. God said, check your coffee. He was taking coffee from coffee bean. He was addicted to it. The moment the Lord opened his eyes, he stopped the coffee. The pain stopped. Sometimes it's our diet, it's what we're eating. And if you don't judge yourself. So, that Hagin went to this guy's meeting and he wouldn't listen. He said he wanted to talk to him. The guy was busy talking to other people, like he didn't have time. He was a big man. I mean, miracles were happening like crazy. Raw, amazing miracles. That doctors would stand by, do the test, boom, done. And then the Lord also said this, that he needed to judge himself in the area of money. In the area of money. In the area of walking in love with fellow ministers, in the area of his personal diet, and in the area of money. He said a particular miracle was done in his meeting. And you know what this man did? He got up and commanded, if you don't have $50, don't come down here. I want people with at least minimum $50 rush down, come and put down an offering, like some Nigerian merchants do, merchandising the gospel. And people were rushing down in their loads because they saw a miracle. Are you the miracle worker? Are you the miracle worker? You're only a minister. Do you know that even Jesus didn't take credit for the miracle? John 14:10, the words I say unto you, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father is the one doing the works. I'm not the one, it's the Father that is doing the works. Put that scripture on the screen. Believers, don't thou know that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I don't own my words. I listen and I speak. And so I don't speak my own words. And the Father, but the Father that dwelleth inside me is the one doing the miracles. If Jesus said so, who are you as a minister to say, I heal the sick, I heal the sick, yeah, I raise the dead, I open the blind eyes, I, you, you are just a vessel. You are not the owner of the treasure in the vessel. Are you with me, church? We must be humble. If you pray as a sister in this church for another sister, and God answers that prayer, glory to God, you have a testimony, they will say, you're so anointed, Sister Moyi, thank you, Sister Falake, if not for you. No, if not for Jesus, I only prayed with you, I didn't answer the prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? People tell me a lot of times, oh, Pastor Frey, you're doing a great work in the Expression House, and I'm quick to say, Jesus is doing a great work in the Expression House. If Pastor Fred is not there, Jesus will still do his work. He will still use Emmanuel, I know, use Paul, use Falake, use Temitope, use King, use everybody, anyone available. Can I have an amen? So keep your head simple. Ego is too much with Nigerian Christianity. They literally worship some pastors in their churches. Jesus is outside, is what the apostle says. And trust them, even with their posture. They talk authoritatively, and you don't know nothing. If a headache starts in your brain, and you pray the Holy Ghost 3 hours, and it doesn't go, that's when you will know that, God is the master. Some of them have not proven what they are saying. Let's go to the scriptures. We'll keep it simple. This man did not judge himself. In the area of finances, he didn't walk in love. Eventually, he didn't walk in love with fellow ministers. And then he didn't judge his appetite. He was large and was getting larger. Not too long after he died. He died at the age of 36. He was not even up to 40 yet. So when he died, his wife actually called for prayers when he was going to die, before he died. So all the healing voice ministers came around. Them, Ora Robert, that Hagin, and all of them, these were fathers of the faith, and they sought the face of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I think it was in a meeting, I think it was Dad Robert, who made a call for all the healing evangelists to come and pray. This was a healing evangelist that God was using mightily. He himself was now sick to the point of death, and they couldn't help him. They didn't want him to die. He had not died. Dad Hagin said, as he was going up to the platform, the Lord said to him, stop right there. I've told you to tell him so and so. He didn't do so and so. He didn't judge himself. I have committed his body to Satan. I've turned over his body to Satan to buffet him so that I may save his soul in the day of the Lord. There are some certain spiritual truths as we continue in Bible study that we'll be delving into. What does it mean to commit somebody to Satan? Because if he continued that way, he will eventually lose even the salvation of his soul. You see, that one save, forever save thing is a scam. The Lord had to turn him over to Satan to deal with his flesh because he didn't judge himself. And he was hurting the body of Christ. That was the challenge. He wasn't working in love with other ministers. You know what? One of the things he did, I think this was like almost the major straw that broke the camel's back. He went to hold a meeting in a city. All the local pastors in that city cooperated with him. They brought their members, like somebody coming from America, coming to Nigeria, and we gather all our branches, Expression House, Stone Church. We are, let's support him. Vine Branch, join us. Let's support this evangel, like of blessed memory, Renard Bonke. You know, like the way local churches support him. Then he said to the, when he came, meeting was well attended, successful. Then he said to the pastors that hosted him, I'm going to start my church in this city. I'm going to start it not far from here. And may I let you know, I'm going to get so number of people from your ministry, so number of people from you, so number of you, so, they will join my church. In other words, because, you know, they respected him because of the anointing of his upon his life and the office he occupied, naturally, people will troop to his church. You know, there are figures that people really run after, human beings, but they run after them. When it comes to start a church here, just know that, just like we've had churches from Lagos who have come to Ibadan, they were popular in Lagos. So they extended their popularity in Lagos to Ibadan. None of them has won a single soul. What they have done is poaching. Poaching. Now, when you come to our service, we have value to give you. You will have connect. Everybody wants connect. When you go to that church, there are young boys there, young girls, they are doing very well, they have money. Well, when you come to our service, we are going to give you this. Maybe they feel no church gives morning tea or tea break, but in Ibadan. So we are going to give not only tea, we are going to give sandwiches and tea. And then, you know, some people are very hungry. Anywhere but let us. So that's why head usher will not come to church. She will go to that church because they will take sandwiches and coffee. That's how they've populated their churches. They did not walk on the streets to talk to people, to win souls, to disciple them and bring them to church. They never did. They leverage on social media, which is good. They leverage on their popularity, but they have done poaching to start their churches. Not minding what that will cost the local churches that are there. Some of the things we do in the name of we want to be popular, we want to expand our network, we want to be all over the world. Hey, is that the guarantee that you will even make heaven? I attend the most popular church in Nigeria. Does that mean our church is the biggest, the largest, full of criminals? The largest, and you can't find Christ-like people there. The largest, with calabash full of human head. In your elder's wardrobe with bante underneath your pastor's suit. The largest. Evangelist Bola Akinjohn of blessed memory. I mean, Dr. Bola Akinjohn. He was a man who was into church growth. And so he did a lot of going to churches, talking to churches. He said one time, they said they wanted to donate suits. They wanted pastors to donate suits for evangelists, missionaries in the villages, so they could have some suit to wear. So city pastors, please bring your suit. City pastors brought their suits. Some of them forgot to remove Ado, God, G-O-U-R-D, fetish things from their pockets. Bante from their pockets. In the name of Jesus. But there was Ado inside. In the name of, we are the largest church. We are going to be the largest church. Is it quantity or quality that the Lord is looking at? This man did exactly what he promised. The churches were afraid in America that he was going to do it. He did it. He came to their city. He started his church there. All the members flocked to his church. The other buildings were empty. People that came to help you. Let's be honest. Tell me the pastor that will like that. Let's be honest. We need to be careful. In entering a city, how did the Lord say you should enter the city? Ecclesiastes 10:15. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to go into the city. They know not how. There is a how to go to the city. There's a how to be led by the Spirit of God. There's a how to do your business without damaging another person's business. Do you know that? That's what they call competition in the world today. We rubbish your product. We promote our brand by rubbishing your brand. Why? The Holy Spirit does not do that. Do your thing, I do my thing. His grace works for you, His grace will work for me. Unnecessary rivalry has entered the church. Unhealthy competition has entered the church. So much so, we are not able to walk in love. If I'm not sure you love me, how do you think you'll buy me bread and I will eat it? Amen. You need all of my jenjekuje. If I don't trust you, I will not eat your food. No matter who you are to me, no matter how close you are to me, if I don't eat your food for 1 year, I will not die. It was not your food I ate from when they gave back to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're at a point now that Christians, we can't do business with one another again. You do business with the pastor, you have to go and check very well whether your money has gone to the right channel. How did we get here? The church was a place where people would come, even when there was no service, come to the altar and weep, crying to God. Jesus wants his church back. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll wrap this up. That man died shortly after he started that church. The church opened. He didn't see the growth, let alone enjoy the benefits of the growth. Because one of the benefits of church growth is that more money will come into the church. Let's be honest. More money. And then as the head of the church, you get what I mean? Jesus is the head of the church, but you are the under shepherd. Money comes to you. More money. The Lord said he didn't judge himself. And he died. Nobody should mess with the Lord. I'm not saying that God is a killer. But he will allow some people to die if they stand and withstand his work. Let me show you something that happened to the apostles in Acts chapter 4. I'm sorry, we started with John 7, but we can't finish that now. They really dishonored Jesus. But let me show you Acts chapter 4, and let me see if I can go back to John 7. After they arrested Peter and John, and they, you know, they did a miracle on the man that was born with, who was lame on both feet, Acts chapter 4, sitting and begging alms at the gate called Beautiful. And because of that, they arrested them. And they actually even beat them. Now, somebody made a point, a man made a point, and I want you to see that point. Yeah. Acts chapter 4. Permit me to read chapter 4, and I'm going to read quickly. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I want to cut certain areas. Okay, good. Go to verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they didn't go to school. Just like they saw about Jesus, they saw that in the life of Peter and John, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with their master because they were operating just like Jesus. The church today should be operating like Jesus. Are you with me, church? And beholding the man who was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside, they commanded Peter and John to go outside, out of the council. They conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that are in Jerusalem, that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them to speak at all, not to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing out that might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company. Okay, and then they lifted up their voice. Next verse, blah, blah, blah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Man, this talabadi kids to halakish to halak. Yeah, it is still the same account. But that's not what I'm looking for. Show me, Lord. One particular man said to them, he gave examples of other people that had come before Peter and John and said, after they died, all their followers scattered. That's where I'm going. He said, let's be careful, lest we be found to be resisting God. I must get it. Yeah? So we're in chapter 5 now. Thank you. And that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 35. Thank you. Good. So let me look at the verse to pick it from. Okay, good. Then stood there up, verse 34, one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel. That's the one I was looking for. A doctor of the law. You see, they were still persecuting the church. They were persecuting Peter and John and the apostles. But this man stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the... You see, this Gamaliel was the teacher of the law. And I think Paul even went to his school. Paul trained under him. So he was a big man who had so much knowledge. Paul had not yet surfaced there. He was still Saul of Tarsus here. This Gamaliel had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, just like what they did in chapter 4. That was why I thought he was there. And said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Be careful. I wish we could read this in a more modern translation. Can you give that to me in New Living Translation, please? Or NIV. Yeah. Then he said to them, he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Be careful. Next verse, please. Next verse. You keep going with NLT. I'll read here, then I'll read there. Verse 36. For before these days rose up Theudas, there was one Theudas. Stay with NLT. Thank you. He said, for before these days rose up Theudas, there was one particular Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves. What? Jesus didn't even have 400. He had 12, then had the 70 later, and then had the 250 later. He said this Theudas had 400 men, joined themselves, who was slain. Now, this Theudas was killed, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. NLT. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas. This Gamaliel was a highly cerebral man. He knew the law and he knew history. Say, hey, let me tell you history here. That fellow Theudas, do you remember him? Who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him as his disciples, but he was killed. And all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. It's been over 2,000 years, and the church of God is still advancing. Amen? Amen. We're going to stop. Don't worry. Next verse. Verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee. Now, this is not Judas Iscariot. Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. He was telling them history, taking them down memory lane. Verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from this menu, and let them alone. For if this counsel, or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. If what they are doing, Peter and John, if what they are doing is of the flesh, I am telling you, it will come to nothing. So my advice is, leave these men alone, let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. Next verse. But if it be of God, if it be of God, Toba Jeyse Olorun ni, Ayafikoma Jeyse Olorun. Ye cannot. Ye, not will not, cannot. You don't have the capacity to overthrow it. Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. Don't move. Verse 39, yeah? But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. Ask Saul of Tarsus. Saul was not in this meeting. The Holy Ghost slapped him off the camel's back. Pooah! He fell down, yakata, on the floor.
tried to get up.
He was blind. He couldn't see anything again.
What?
He heard the voice. Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the prick? The question he said is, who are you, Lord? Ogbolohun lo ga straight. This person talking. Now, master. People say the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't make you, like he doesn't force you to do things, yeah? Ask Saul of Tarsus. Do you think he just mistakenly stumbled off the camel's back? Ofumblo. Ofunjabi.
Boah! He landed like this.
A light shone from heaven around him. He had the voice clearly.
Saul! Saul!
Why do you kick against the pricks? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, the one whom you persecute. It is me. You are injuring my body. You want to die now? No, sir. I'm going to use you. Try to open his eyes. He had scales already. A man that was seeing 1 minute ago, all of a sudden now can't see anything again. Lord, then God took him through the humility process, having to go to Ananias and having to show Ananias in the vision. Ananias was arguing, Lord, that guy is a murderer. He's a terrorist. He's the head of the bandits in the north. You now say he's born again. He should come to our church. You want him to come and kill people? I know what he's doing, Lord. He's not born again. He only wants to use that to enter the church so that I can destroy the church. He had gotten letters from the elders and the Pharisees to come and destroy the church. That's the letter he got. And he was going kutupa, kutupa, kutupa to go and execute. He thought he was working for God, but he was working against God. Ah. Lord, have mercy on us. He was zealous in the religion of the Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied under Gamaliel. This guy had an intimidating CV. As touching the law, perfect. One encounter with Jesus. He was on the floor. But Jesus saw the zeal in him plus the ignorance. This guy, let's give him light. He will use the same zeal to preach the gospel. And that was what Paul did. The moment he turned around like this, that's why I don't understand people who say they are born again and they are still living the exact way they were living before they got born again. You are still drinking, smoking, womanizing, doing everything. And you say it's grace. Paul taught us grace. He taught us the dispensation of grace. Why didn't Paul go back to the old school of killing people in the name of God? I'm born again now. Grace covers me. Come in the name of Jesus. Let's cut off the neck. A pregnant woman in the name of Jesus. Fear. That was the way he was killing them. He was putting them in prison. When they killed Stephen, as they were stoning him, he was the supervisor of that execution. The young men gathered their clothes. They put it at the feet of Saul. He was supervisor. So, no, that one did not hit him. Take a bigger one. Forge your twin. Target the right eye. Break it. He was Saul of Tarsus. The Bible says he was breathing out threatenings. His breath was threat. If Saul said, I'm coming for those of you in Damascus, expect me. Christians will be wooing inside their room. Saul is coming. Kai. One encounter with Jesus, same zeal. They beat him to death. When the disciples surrounded him, life came back. He got up. He went back to the city to go and preach again. Where they just beat him. In one place, the governor wanted to arrest him. They put him in a basket. They lowered him down through the window. If some of us experience 1/1,000,000 of what Paul experienced in ministry, we will not do ministry again. We say, Aye shemi by mo confirm. Aye lunch. Aye gidi. One tell me kirimi. Mo bere church. It I bere church. One dek buy it me. Come on. Oh my God. Do dek buy it me. Shalom pe mini ye. Shororo ni ye. Abimo ororo 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 akara. What did they not do to him? The humiliation. Everywhere he went, the Jews rose up against him. Even though miracles were happening, persecution. He got to a point. He said,
this messenger of Satan.
God said, he said, three times I sought the Lord to take it away from me. This thorn in my flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Huh. So I don't understand if you're still living like you used to live and you say you're born again and you call it grace. Tell them when you meet the next time in UI. Those hyper-grace nonsense who don't know what they're talking about. Tell them, Paul the apostle that taught us grace, did he continue to live the way he was living before he encountered grace? Which grace now gives you a license to sleep with your girlfriend? Eh? And you come to church, both of you, and you lift up only hand. You are deceiving yourselves. One young man in Akure told my friend, my pastor friend there, Pastor Daniel Daniels, he said, I can get off from a married woman now. I commit adultery with her. I'm a young man, but I'm servicing her. She's my sugar mommy. And I will come to the other minister, and the anointing will move. Yes, it will move in spite of you. Because God wants to reach his people. He has not found a worthy vessel. But we use him, we push him aside. Are you with me, church? We need to be careful. Who is not facing temptation? Who? Yeah, Pastor, my own is fornication. Everybody is facing it. You deal with it. You deal with it. Wa mukine, wa so, wa so kule, wa so gidi. Koma baye eje. So you will not destroy your future. You zip up. Zip up. There's no spirituality for this one. Discipline. Discipline. Who is not tempted? Who doesn't have flesh? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, having ministered to all, he said, I keep my body under. I buffet my body. Bang, bang, blow, ni. His body. Why? He says, so that having ministered to others, I myself will not be a castaway. So pastor will not be holding special meeting in his office. Only sister so-so should come. Only her. I want to minister. The Lord showed me. I saw it. There's a lump in your breast. I said, I'm actually feeling some pain. It's the lump. This is the Holy Ghost. Don't argue here. This is the anointing, right? I want to minister to you. Oh, I should not minister? Okay, minister. She be his pastor. And then you are rubbing the breast. Anoint. Did you see Jesus do that? Talk to me now. Did Jesus do that? Bible study is a place for growth. This is how we're going to be having it. Plus, we'll be breaking out into small, small sections. I want us to really talk. Are we growing? Are we learning anything? See what Gamaliel told them. If care is not taken, you'll be fighting against God. Oh. So leave them alone. Let me read only one more verse there. What followed after I told them to leave them alone? Chapter 5. Does anybody know the verse where we stopped? Verse 39. Glory to God. So he said, and to him they agreed. What did be? And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, these people are very stubborn. They still beat them. In spite of what Gamaliel told them, they still beat them. Then they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. But see how the apostles responded? And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily, not weekly, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They had no other message but Jesus Christ. They were teaching and preaching Jesus Christ every day, every day, every day. No wonder the church began to explode. No wonder demons were screaming out of people. They were preaching and teaching Jesus. They were not telling them Jesus hates the poor. Jesus does not go to the house of the poor. And what about Babylonia? Nigerian gospel. A whole minister said Jesus does not relate to poor people. Nigerian gospel. This is what we are exporting to the world. This is why their church members get into political office. The first thing to do is to steal all the money there. Because they must go and do thanksgiving in church and show that God has blessed us. And once you send prophet offering, no question, prophet get 1 billion. Says my son in the law. One of my sons just got an appointment with the federal government. One of my sons. 1 billion. Automatically confers sonship on you. Kidnappers have churches. They have pastors. Armed robbers have churches. They have pastors. Let me close with this. In one of our churches in Lagos, some years ago, a young man ran inside the church. Ran inside the church and demanded to see the pastor. They took him to the pastor's office. I think pastor was preparing to come out. He said it was very urgent. So when he was alone with the pastor, he was wearing an Italian suit. He opened his blazers. There was blood. Pastor, I have money. I'm an armed robber. I was carrying out an operation when I was shot. Money is not my problem. The pastor confirmed the guy was smelling money, apart from the blood that he used his blazers to cover. He said, the moment I got shot, I have entered about 3, 4, 5 churches in Lagos. He said, but what each of the pastors was talking about was money. It was all money, just prosperity alone, nothing. And he thought he had a few minutes to live. So before he died, he was looking for a church where he will find Jesus and surrender. He knew he would die because no hospital would treat him. With that bullet in his tummy, he would die. So please, can you lead me to Christ? He said, when he came to our church, I think somebody was taking like what we call BBC now. And it was raw word. That's why I want everybody here should be a minister. You should be able to. It's a shame on you if you cannot minister. We call on you 5 minutes exhortation. Say, I can't do it. For what? You never know that one person that God will use you to say, Pastor Fred may not be around. He may be on another assignment. He gave his life to Christ in pastor's office, thanked the pastor, and left. He's probably in heaven now. He said he had entered 5 churches. They were talking money. 7 steps to prosperity. 15 steps to financial breakthrough. 98 steps to financial breakdown. This is how to break out. 1 million ways to breaking out. One Sunday in one church. The title of the message was how to avoid, 4 steps to avoid a stupid boyfriend. I think it was 2021. A former member of that church came here. She said for the first time in her life, she found God here. She said that for the first time in her life, she was attending a church where they used to have a blaze. They also have a blaze, but their own blaze was fashion parade. Said when a blaze was coming, you were preparing what to wear. That was all their preparation. He said, but I came here, I was shocked. It was Jesus from Thursday to Sunday. She gave her life to Christ here. She's in London now. She didn't give her life to Christ alone, brought her husband. Not only that, brought another friend from that church. When that friend also came, the friend was fighting after some. Said, you're a bad friend. He said, why you call me a bad friend? He said, you know this church that God is in that place and you never invited me there. All this why? And he said, boy, I invited you today. Why today? Why? The same friend now is also in the UK. The two of them came to report themselves to me. I'm not telling you a story I was told. Leave those who are criticizing us. We don't have any business with that. I beg. Face forward. Face front. Let's face the work that God has called us to do. Choir, come to your rehearsal. Pray. Do whatever you have to do. They give you a microphone to lead prayer. Pray at home before you come to pray in church. Technical, keep doing your work. Media, we don't have system. Keep doing your work. Let's just do the work. We never know who we're going to help. I've made up my mind, though, no matter what happens in my personal life, you have had stories, forget it. Me, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. And I will serve him with my last breath. Doesn't matter how many people gang up against me. I have a scripture for that, but it's not for tonight. I will show you. Remind me next week. What I told you to remind me last week, you forgot. And I remember, whether it was Marilyn Hickey, or Mama Gloria Copeland. I'll tell you now, and then we go home. We've taken extra time. And it's not like me. You know, Bible study, I like to stop at 7. But please let me just share this, and then we go. I've shared it before, but some didn't hear it. So listen now. In being led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost is real. The reason I'm sharing this is I want you to begin to practice it from tonight. Say to him, Holy Spirit, lead me. In whatever direction you want him to lead you, in whatever area of your life. I think it was Marilyn Hickey that shared it. Because she really went to the nations a lot. Muslim nations, preaching inside the mosque. She said in one of the underground churches, because it was illegal in the country, if the police found out, they would come and arrest all of them. Like we are here now. You can imagine, we tiptoed into this place. We dodged. You dare not carry a Bible. You hide it inside somewhere. So 22 of them used to gather. And before the end of the service, police will come and bust them, beat them, give them warning. Don't meet again. Week in, week out. For Bible study. So the leader of the fellowship just said, I think she was a woman. She just said, you know what? We have seen in the Bible that the Holy Spirit leads. Romans 8:14, our text for this Bible study. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can you put that on the screen? That's the only scripture I'm quoting, and then we're closing. Romans 8:14. Read everybody. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. If you are not led, you are not the son of God. For as many as are led, no argument, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know what the woman said? She said, we are not going to announce the venue of the next Bible study. Because they were moving it from place to place. Each place they went, police went to bust them. Each place they moved to Monia, police will bust them. Now, it's not in Nigeria. This was in the iron cutting countries. So they said, we are tired of police coming to beat us and to harass us for the sake of our faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit, all of you go home, go and pray. Pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, and listen. The Holy Spirit will tell you where we will meet next week. Honestly, if I try that here, I'm not sure how many of us will meet for Bible study. Should we try it? She said the Holy Spirit will tell each of us where we would hold the next Bible study. You know, there was a spy among them. It was that spy that was telling the police, they have moved to, this is where they are going next week. This is where they go. So the police will come. So they all went home with no direction. But they went with Grand Katali Karoba Hasta Karaba Robobobodia Baba. And God saw the sincerity of their heart and the hunger for the word of God. And the Holy Ghost told them where to meet one by one. Without confirming from one another, they came the following week and there were 21 of them. Who didn't know the venue? The spy. The spy did not come and police did not come. The ways of God are real, my friend. The ways of God are so real, so real, so real. There is no secret he cannot reveal. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to God, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. Proverbs 25, verses 1 and 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of kings to search them out. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Job 29, verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacles. God has secrets. God has secrets. I said Job 29:4. I didn't say Job 24. Job 29 and verse 4. Lest I become a false prophet. You got it now. As I was in the days of my youth. These are the days of our youth. Are the secret of God upon your tabernacles? Are the secret of God upon your tabernacles? These are not the days to be busy with gossip. busy with distractions, busy with what Satan is doing, busy with all kind of filthy things on the internet, busy with material acquisition. I want to have this, have that. Be busy now with the secret of God. Let them be upon your tabernacles. And you will be great in the name of Jesus. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed tonight? It all boils down to being led by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.